everyone. Happy Thursday. I'm your host, Olivia Mattson, and welcome to the WDIY 88.1 Teen Money Matters podcast. I'm excited to be joining you. Today, we're welcoming Macy Fadabin, a teen entrepreneur and sophomore at Liberty High School, whose crochet business, Creations by Macy Lee, has been around for 4 years, making over $250 per year. That's really inspiring. Welcome, Macy. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Of course. It's great to have you here on the podcast. So tell me, what was your spark for creating your business? And just why did you start your crochet business in the first place?
Well, I started out when I was around 4 years old selling bracelets at family yard sales. I continued selling bracelets until I taught myself how to weave. I started selling those too. And eventually, when I went to middle school, my friends convinced me to join an after-school club, where I learned how to knit and crochet. It was through that club where I found my genuine passion for crocheting. One of my best friends started a crochet business. She inspired me to start one as well.
So I think it's incredibly inspiring that a teen can not only have the drive, but the responsibility to take a simple interest or a hobby like you did. You saw the opportunity in that, and then you found a way to profit from it. And a lot of people, like I know, teens in particular, haven't had the inspiration or the knowledge to start their own business. So people like you, they show you that you can take something small and something that you're passionate about, and you can really grow from there, maybe even like monetize it. So I think that's like really important that you did that. So to revisit, Macy, once you realized that you had the skill to crochet well, what did you do to start monetizing that hobby?
I was around 11 that I decided it was time to graduate from yard sales. My first big step was actually I decided to create an online shop through Etsy.
Yeah.
And I started posting listings with my handmade plushies. I think I was 13 when I decided to enter my first craft show, which was extremely successful, leading me to take on more and more craft shows.
So it was kind of like a progressive thing. Like yeah. You graduated from yard sales. You like really took the big step when you started an online shop through Etsy, which is, wow, that's great. And you joined a craft show. And you really kind of did some community outreach there. And I know we'll talk on that a little bit later. I want to get to that. But I know it took some time to start up your business. So I was just wondering, did it take any money for you to start this business?
It wasn't free. At first, I did get my supplies through my school club and for my birthday, but soon as the business grew, what I did had to grow with it, so I needed more supplies. And I took a percentage of my profit, and I always put it back into the business, whether it's to sign up for more craft shows or to get different supplies, and anything to make it grow as it should.
I think that's really important that you're investing back into the company. I have my own tutoring business, and personally, in the beginning, I didn't really have to do that. I was like, oh, I'm just teaching people how to, you know, like learn new things. And so I didn't do that. But now I realize, you know, yeah, I do need more supplies. I do need that. And so in the future, I'm going to be using, like what you said, reinvesting back into the business, taking a percentage of my earnings and putting it back. And that's really important for people who may want to, like, start a new business, I feel. So you started a business on Etsy.
I did.
You grew how much money you had by reinvesting into it. With the money that it took to start your own business, did you have to use that to start a shop on Etsy? Like, what was it like setting a shop on Etsy to start selling your creations?
It took a lot of time and commitment to start a shop online. I have to take pictures of the products, create the lighting and everything. Then I had details to listing, descriptions. And I take time out of my day to sit down, make sure everything's in order. Yeah. So patience is definitely the key, because it can be a whole process, but if you do it right, then everything goes well. It's worth it.
So you got to type down those descriptions. You got to take nice pictures, and that's like all a part of marketing, and that's really important. You know, it's going to take some time, but I'm hearing that time and money is very important for making sure your business is successful. So you had patience to do all of these things, and maybe even some obstacles over the way. So speaking of obstacles and the patience that it takes to overcome them, what was one of your earliest obstacles that you overcame in your business, and how?
I'd say probably figuring out where to sell my products, because usually when you're 11, you don't know what a craft fair is.
Yeah.
So you have to be creative. But once I learned what they were, how to be in a craft fair, it became my most effective way of selling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it definitely, it gets public knowledge throughout, and business cards help a lot, because they have, like,
yeah.
Say you take commissions or something, then they'll have your email, your Etsy, and they'll know how to get through to you to see what you can do.
Yeah, so you had an obstacle. You didn't know how to sell your products. And so a question and a topic that comes up again and again with businesses and making your own business is advertising. And so you put yourself out there a little bit more with your craft fairs, which is really good. And so if you had to start your own business from the ground up again, what would be something that you do differently? Would you like start with putting yourself out there more?
I would probably, I'd make sure that I was better at making the product before I start selling it.
Oh yeah.
Because when you're younger, you still have time to improve on what you're doing. But when you start a real business, like you're legitimately into it and you're doing craft shows mm-hmm. and everything, you need to make sure that your product is high quality, because nobody really wants to buy something that's mediocre. Yeah, like you're not gonna see something that's like, oh, it's halfway there, and be like, oh, I really want to get that. You have to make sure it's worth it for the people that get it. So I would definitely work on the quality of my product before selling it to others.
Definitely. You're just like putting in that time, making sure that your product is really like over the moon before yeah. people are like buying it, because you want it to like be really nice when you're putting it out there. I definitely see that. So many people who want to start their own business, they're discouraged by the community outreach that we're talking about, and definitely advertising involved in getting new dedicated customers introduced to their venture. Besides the stereotypical act of, you know, like putting up flyers throughout the neighborhood to gain attention, what do you think is the most effective way to market your business in a local area?
Well, making sure that you have the connections to sell your products is important, because I mainly use word of mouth for advertising. I have a lot of connections with my friends and other vendors at craft shows, and I use those connections to start advertising my business. So I found the most effective way would definitely be talking to people about your company, telling them to spread the word. It really helps to gain communal knowledge about your business. Say you're applying to a craft fair, and maybe one of your vendor friends is going there too. We'll check in on each other. We'll be like, hey, are you doing this? Or hey, there's a craft show on this day over here if you want to join that too. And it gets overall more traction to your business, and it helps you market your company.
So would you say that word of mouth is definitely like one of the top two ways to
yeah,
advertise?
Probably. It gets people talking about it, and that's what you want. As long as it's good, it has to be.
Yeah. I'm hearing networking, lots of just making sure your community knows what you're doing.
Definitely.
Knows what you're even selling, because if people don't know what your business is, it's harder to sell.
Right.
Like what you have. So you have a lot on your plate, right? You have your Etsy shop, you have craft fairs, all of this. Taking that into like a work-life balance, taking your business and talking to others about your business with the word of mouth, how do you balance your school and your business time? Like, if you get stressed with balancing both, what helps you cope?
Typically during the school year, I'm not home much because I'm involved in a lot of extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
So when I have free time on the weekends, which isn't really often if I'm going to be honest, I'm not super tired, I'll start a project, and that builds up inventory decently. Because like once you start going, you typically finish it, depending on your motivation. But if I get stressed with balancing both, it's good to take a step back and look at priorities, see what's due soon, see what needs to be completed later, and get myself in order to reduce stress.
Yeah, so you're kind of making a list in your head of
yeah.
what's most important to what's least important.
It definitely helps. Like, even if you have to write it down in front of you, it's easier to see what needs to be due now versus later, so you can get your head in order, you can get yourself back up without having to stop what you're doing completely.
Yeah, and that's important for everything. You have to make sure that you're having a good schedule for school, a good schedule, like making sure you're having your priorities in check for for work, for your business. And so when you're going into having your priorities in check for your business, what stands out to you? Like, what do you put on the top of your list usually?
The most important, it's typically, since school is always the top priority, with honors classes and everything, you have a bunch of projects and you need to complete those because you can't have grades drop.
Yeah.
So say it's a group project, then I'll do my part. But if I have a craft show, I have a craft show next weekend, say, I need to get products stocked up there. So it depends what's closer to the deadline and what's more important at that specific time. Like, it always varies.
So sometimes do you, like, multitask? Like,
I do.
You have, like, a project coming up and you're, like, trying to get both of these important things, like, leveled, but you can just do some of them at the same time. Maybe you're, like, working on a project and crocheting at the same time. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool to find a hobby that you love while also making sure that you, like, you have school in order and you have all of these important things to you still at the top. But I think it's nice that you can have multiple things that you like and still have a business. You're still making money.
Yeah, it's great.
So you have all of these activities, and usually it's hard to get a job for a teen when you have like all of these complications, even in the summer. So is that like the best part of being your own boss? Like, what's the best part of being your own boss?
The best part, there's a lot of perks with it, but one of the best parts, at least, is being able to work at my own pace. I can set my own goals and be able to create flexible deadlines on when to make what, avoid burnout, because avoiding burnout is key when doing anything. If you're really, if you do what you love too frequently and make it a burden, it becomes more of a task or an assignment instead of something you like doing, and you really don't want that to happen, because it makes it less fun, and you're creating a successful business, but you don't want it to be something that you don't enjoy doing.
You want to still have your passion be a passion.
You don't want to stop being passionate about what you like to do.
Yeah, and that's super important, because in the beginning we talked about taking your hobby, something that you love, into a business, which is like the easiest way to start something. And so when it becomes, like, not fun anymore, it's, like, important to take a break. Sit back,
you need to
take,
like,
a break.
Step back, see what you need to do in order to get back on your feet, in order to make it fun again.
And for a teen who's maybe thinking about starting their own business on this, they got inspired by this show, do you have maybe a piece of advice that you would give somebody for that?
A piece of advice that I would give is, make sure that you're passionate about what you're doing. If you're passionate about it, the processes are fun, instead of making it something that you're like, oh man, I have to do that again.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want it to be something that you dread doing. You want to be ready to do it. You want to have fun while you're doing it. Everything is better when you're doing what you love.
You are really dedicated to your crochet business, and you're doing what you love now. So where do you see your business in, let's say, like, 5 years from now?
In 5 years, I'll be in college. And my long-term goal is to own a restaurant or a cafe. So all that I have worked towards now, it's really all stepping stones toward the big goal. Like, everybody needs to grow, and owning a business at a young age is important, because you learn all of these lessons that stay with you into adulthood, like how to make better products, how to advertise, and all that will come through later when I'm looking to say, let's start like a restaurant or start a cafe. I don't know. But every lesson that I learn is a step towards creating that new business.
Yeah, and that's like important, how you can, I think our main message here today is that you can create something that you love, something that is accessible to you under any circumstance. And these life lessons, when you're making a business, they're really helpful, because you can, you know, take that into college with you. Would you feel that the lessons that you've learned through creating your crochet business they're going to stay with you for the rest of your life?
Definitely, yeah. It will definitely change. The circumstances will change. But the general message that I can get from it is, like, do what you love how you want to do it, but still, you need to find a balance between how to do it well and how to do it successfully.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they come hand in hand at the same time, yeah.
But don't make it a project that you're constantly thinking, oh, I don't want to do that right now.
You're dreading it. Yeah,
yeah, you don't want to dread it. You don't want to be like, you don't want that to be the worst part of your day. You want that to be one of the best parts of your day, because if you don't like doing it, then it doesn't add up.
Yeah, and your business is not going to be as good if you don't enjoy, like, doing what you do. And that even goes into your work. Like, for me personally, or for you, we don't have big jobs yet.
Yeah.
You know, we're not getting hired. We started something small because we found something that we love doing, and we took advantage of that. So owning your own business is kind of, like, really important for people who don't have jobs yet, because it teaches you all of these lessons and it helps you work towards, like, getting your own job. So do you feel like owning your own business now is going to help you get a job in the future?
Absolutely. It gives you experience talking to people and how to make connections, again, reconnecting to that.
Mm-hmm.
Say you're doing a job interview. It's like somebody asking you to make something, like, hey, can you make this? Like, yes, I can. How would you like me to do that? What specific things would you like me to do? And it definitely plays in, like, when you go into the workforce, you definitely need experience, and this helps a lot with that.
So you're now taking the skills that you've learned, which you've said will stay with you for, like, the rest of your life.
They will.
You can create a business easily, as you've said. You find something that you love, take advantage of it. You make it something accessible to you, because now you're having it scheduled in. I think it's important that people make time for creating something new, but also know when to not, like, push their boundaries. Would you say that if you had, like, all of your activities, and maybe it was, like, now that you're starting a business in your life, would you have any suggestions for a person who is, like, really busy in their life and starting to try a business out now?
As one of those people who is always involved and always going somewhere, like, I'm in theater, I'm in band, I'm always performing something. Yeah. So with that, like, those times get really busy, and sometimes they can get overwhelming. So you got to take time and plan out possibly, like, a schedule, but also go based on your mood. Like, you don't want to burn yourself out, because I know activities can be really, really overstimulating sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that you're not too tired, you're not too dreading it or anything.
We mentioned craft fairs, like, a lot
yeah,
earlier too. When you were first trying to find the best places to put out your product and go for selling your stuff, how did you find out about those craft fairs? Because I know that some people know of things that, like, exist in their community, but they don't know how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find out about craft fairs?
Well, the first craft fair I ever did was at a high school in my community, and it was a fundraiser for their band. And obviously, I want to support them. And while supporting my business, it all works out. Like, it's a community thing. So I learned about it through my dad, and he found it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we just kept going back. Like, it's an annual thing now, and I'm doing it again this year. So you can just keep going with what you're doing, and eventually you'll get new ones. Like, there's this one in Easton that I did. That went really well.
We were talking about how often you're having these craft fairs. Let's say that you couldn't book one for this year. You haven't had the time, your sales are really low. What is something that you would do to, like, boost up those sales? Do you have an idea when you have that happen? Or is it just like, oh no, I'm gonna not know what to do. Like, what are we thinking? 'Cause sometimes I have those moments where I'm like, I don't have any clients.
Right.
How do I get these clients? Like, business is low. I need money. What goes through your head?
Yeah, that's definitely something we all go through at some points. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely good to, like, keep adding stock. So that's always good. Say you have a couple events where you're selling your stuff now, and you need to build up inventory. So that works out well. And also, you can get commissions sometimes. So, like, say it's someone's birthday and somebody really needs a present, you can say, hey, I make plushies for a business. If you want to, like, I do commissions.
What are commissions?
Commissions, commissions are when somebody asks you to make something and they'll give you, either they give me an estimate on the price or I give them an estimate, usually yeah. that. But it depending on size and workload, depending on a lot of different factors. But it's definitely a good way to keep your business going if you don't have any events recently.
So what are some commissions that you've done? Any, like, big, cool projects? Have you had anything that was, like, that took a really long time? I know most of them do, but...
Yeah, it's definitely, it's time-consuming, but it's always worth it. One time, my parents' friends wanted me to make two of their dogs into plushies.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I would take, I take a couple pictures of the dogs, and then I make it into a plushie. And I've also done it with, like, loaf cats, and it's really cute. It always turns out great, and they're always really happy with it.
Customizing your product makes it, like...
It makes it your own.
You have your own taste. You have your own specific niche, almost. And mm-hmm. that's also really important. Like, a lot of people can crochet. There's a lot of people who can crochet in the Lehigh Valley.
A wide variety of people that can.
Yeah. And you were even saying that your friend has their own business.
She does.
So, as someone who has kind of, like, a product that a lot of others can get, what is one thing that, like, makes your business, like, really niche? Why would somebody want to go to your business specifically?
Well, it stands out in the fact that I love what I do, and I put that into my products. So you can see, like, hey, I really like making this one thing, and then I can turn it into this, but variations. And let's say I want to make a loaf cat, but then I want to make it in different colors, and now it can have stripes, and people really like that. They see something, and then they keep coming back.
You're putting your personality out there along with your business, which is really cool and really important for future business owners, because I think aesthetics have been coming into play with a lot of businesses for a very long time. So you love cats.
I do.
I know that about you. Love cats.
I have three.
Yes, you have three. Do people come to you specifically for those, like, I know you said that people ask for commissions of certain projects. Do they come to you just for cats sometimes?
I know you said about actually, the dogs. One time I made my aunt's cats into loaf cats, and it was really nice. She loved it. Mm. And recently a family friend of mine, she goes, can you make me a pickle? I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, why not? It turned out really cute, actually, and she's 10. I'm going to give it to her soon, and I really hope she likes it.
You made a pickle for my mom. I know this is kind of a little bit off topic, but my mom has her own business, too, and she specializes in fermentation, and so you helped her out with... making her a pickle. You crocheted her a little pickle, and my mom loves it. It's aww, so cute. So we've talked a lot about niches. We've talked about finding what you love, like what your passion for this project is. When we are heading into college, we have to have, or not have to have, but sometimes people...
It's good to have
a passion project. Do you feel like this will be yours? Like... something that you love that shows colleges, hey, I'm really good at this, and this will help me in the future with showing how awesome you are to new colleges.
It could help, probably. It is something I'm very passionate about, as you could tell.
Yes.
If you couldn't tell, I've only said it 30 times, but it's really great, and I think if it could help me get into college, that would be great. Yeah. And, like, even the money, even the profit that I don't put back into the business, I can save it, and it'll help me get into college.
That is great, too. I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, do I start looking into scholarships now for college? Do I start saving money? So would another piece of advice that you would give to someone who is starting off, would you say to save all the money that you make, or like still spend some of it for what you like?
Well, if you save all of it, then sometimes it can feel like you're not making much out of it, but definitely keep a little bit for yourself, at least a little bit, but make sure to spend a little on yourself. Yeah. Don't go overboard and spend it all on yourself. Like, put it back into the business and save some, but also, you know, go to Starbucks, go to wherever you want.
Go to the Starbucks, to the Starbucks that you want, go get a boba tea.
Yeah.
Like, you worked for that money.
You did. You earned it.
Yeah, I personally have done that too. I went to the bank for my first paycheck.
Congratulations.
My first paycheck, I did a thing where I spent $20 and I saved $25. That's what
Yeah,
I got paid at like, I think around $45. Spent $20, saved $25. Maybe it wasn't the best choice, but it made me feel so good. Yeah. I walked up into that store and I was like, I just made my own money for the first time.
Yeah. And you can always self-regulate that too. Like, you can create goals on what to save and what to put back into what you're doing.
Yeah, and it also depends on how much money you're making. Yeah. Like,
it varies a lot.
Yeah, I don't know who would be making, like, I don't know, $500 to $1,000 a year. Like, if we had that, if you had that, would you start investing in some other things for your business? Like, have you ever thought of getting a location for your business or anything like that?
I have thought about it, but since, you know, school and everything, obviously I can't do that right now, because it's a lot, and having to stock the entire store yourself,
that'd be crazy.
That would be insane. Yeah. But say, like, you're doing it combined with someone else, maybe one of my friends who also sells stuff, they want to do it with me, and we can do a joint shop, then that would work out well.
I'm unclear. Do you have a place where you kind of joint with a business and you, like, have a shelf where you put your items? Because in the Lehigh Valley, I've seen some crochet items that are kind of put in the business, and then that business, like, sells it for them. You're giving advertising. Yeah.
My friend actually did that. She did that for a while, about a year or two. She had a shelf in one of the local businesses, and she would restock about once a week, making plushies, and they made sales really often. That's why she restocked so often.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really well for her. The only thing was burnout. You have to, like, continuously make it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it's a commitment. You have to make sure you're timed well, you have time management skills.
But she was successful with
that. She was very successful with that.
Do you have any online, maybe a website, or you said something with Etsy? What's your Etsy account so that
my
people can
Etsy see? Is Creations by Macy Lee.
It's available now. People it can is. Go on your website.
Yeah, it's available right now. Yeah, I have a bunch of listings posted. There's always different plushies, and
go stop by. Yeah. Yes. So that's all the time we have here for today. Thank you for your time, Macy. It was great to talk to you. And thank you to our listeners for joining us today on WDIY's Teen Money Matters 88.1. Tune in next time.